إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 9th session. And the topic that we're going to discuss tonight is continuation from last week. Yani, continuation of chapter 9. Last week we presented half of the chapter, and this week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to complete the topic of the importance or the obligation of the prayer in jama'ah in the masjids. And tonight, inshallah, we'll add to the topic some of the rewards of praying in the jama'ah and in the masjid. Before we go into the continuation of the topic from last week, I want to quickly review what we covered last week, some of the important points, some of the ayat or hadith that we covered last week in this topic from study guide number 8. Study guide number 8. As quickly as possible. The first question mentioned 4 points of clarification of the statement, Salatul Jama'ah in the masjids is wajib. And is this absolute, or is there some need for clarification? Naam, Salat and Jama'ah in the masjids is wajib. 1.
It's wajib
ala rijal. Obligatory upon men. Naam, 2. Okay, if a person has an excuse in every situation or circumstance, everything that's obligatory, if a person has a shara'i excuse, they excuse from it. Before that, the general conditions, that's across the board, that it's obligatory on men, number one, and also, talib? It's obligatory on a person, not only when you're resident, but even when you're traveling. Even when you're traveling, it's still obligatory. And a person might think, well, I'm traveling, so we have some exemptions and things. No, it's still obligatory even when you're traveling. Number 3, Adam? Huh? Okay, fear prayer, meaning, yes, but more specifically, the Shaykh said what? Huh? Fil hal al amni, well, hal al khawf. Yani, not only when you're in safety, but even when you are in fear. Fear prayer, even when you're in fear. Meaning some people might imagine that when you're in safety, of course it's obligatory, but in a time of war or danger, no, it's still obligatory. That's 3 points. And it's obligatory upon the men. This obligation is not absolute, but it's obligatory upon men. And it's obligatory on those men whether they are resident or traveling, whether they are in safety or in danger. And the last point that the Shaykh mentioned of clarification of the obligation, Salahuddin, Naam, that is fard ayn, yani wujuban ayniyan. Meaning that what? Naam, that means that it's obligatory on every individual man. Not upon the jama'ah, yani fard kifaya. If the group, a lot of people pray in the masjid, khalas, sufficient. No, everybody is responsible for themselves. Even if the whole city prays in jama'ah and you miss it, you're still blameworthy. Rather, in that case, you're more blameworthy. That might be like at the time of the Sahaba. The only person who didn't attend the Jama'ah was the blameworthy one. Munafiq, ma'lum al-nifaq. Tayyib. These are 4 points of clarification that the Shaykh mentioned. Question number 2. Discuss the author's first dalil which proves the obligation of Salatul Jama'ah even when in fear. Just discuss the meaning of this ayat from Surah 2 An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 102nd ayat. What is the meaning of this ayah that the Shaykh mentions here? What is the significance of it as a proof that the prayer, yani, is obligatory in jama'ah? Naam.
It shows the significance and importance of the adherence of praying the salah in jama'ah in congregation, because in the most difficult and scariest of in war, Allah still made it obligatory upon the Prophet and his companions to pray the congregational prayer. And this seems like the biggest excuse not to do it.
Naam, naam. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah commanded the Prophet ﷺ to perform the prayer in jama'ah, even though they were in a condition of fear. And he said to them, if you are amongst them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet ﷺ, in kunta fihim, faqamta lahum as-salat. If you are amongst your companions, your group of people, and you establish the prayer for them, then let a group from amongst them, one group of the people who are with you, stand up with you in prayer, and two, also take their weapons with them. And he take precautions. And when they have prostrated, then let them go to the back, and another group who didn't yet pray, let them pray with you and take precautions and take their weapons. And this ayah is a clear proof that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory and did not excuse the people in time of danger and fear, yani, if it wasn't obligatory, then this would be the best excuse that a person could use to expect to be, yani, relieved of this obligation, if it wasn't obligatory. But the fact that even in this situation, Allah still made it obligatory is a clear proof that the prayer in jama'ah is mandatory. If it's mandatory in this situation, then more so in any other situation. Third question, memorize the author's second dalil from Quran, from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 43rd ayah, which proves the obligation of Salatul Jama'ah in general. Memorize this ayah. You know, the first ayah is a little bit longer, this one is a short ayah. Adam had his hand first. Naam, waqimu salat, and give the zakat. Warka'u ma'a raki'in. Warka'u, this is fi'l amr. Al amr yahtadi al wujub. If Allah orders the people with something, it means that it's obligatory, unless there's a proof showing that something else is intended. Warka'u, that's a command. And bow down, ma'a raki'in, with those who are bowing. Yani, in what? In jama'ah, in the masjid. This is a clear proof of the obligation of salah in jama'ah. Who else memorized this ayat? Who else memorized this ayat? Naam, who's that back there? Musa? Huh? Who else? Abdullah, Abdurrahman, Talib, Ibrahim, Abdullah, another Abdullah. Any more Abdullahs in here? Naam, Taib. It's very important that we memorize something from the evidences for these matters, so that when you have a discussion and you want to help somebody and you want to give them proof, you're not just telling them general stuff. Ah, it's really important. Give them some proof. Give them an ayah from the Quran, a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ that substantiates what you're saying. Otherwise, everybody can claim something and say their view is correct and right, and they can push it on you. And that's what people are doing. And this causes confusion and chaos. Question number 4. Mention the meaning of the hadith in which those who remain behind from the jama'ah are described with nifaq. Mention the meaning of the hadith, the general meaning of the hadith. This is the hadith of Abu Hurairah. Naam, the hadith of Abu Hurairah, reported in Bukhari and Muslim. What's the beginning of the hadith? Who knows the beginning of the hadith? Naam, Abdullah. Naam. What is the meaning? Heaviest. Afqalu salatin ala al-munafiqina is the salat al-isha and salat al-fajr. This is the heaviest, most difficult, most burdensome salat on the hypocrites. And that hadith requires some discussion, but we don't have time for it now. After that, he said what? Naam. And if they knew what was in these two prayers, and salat in general, لَوْ يَعْلَمُونَ, if they knew, if their hearts recognized the importance of these prayers and the value and the reward for it, لَأَوْتَوْهُمَا وَلَوْ حَبَوَا, they would have come even if they had to crawl. And after this, the Prophet ﷺ, general meaning of the hadith, somebody just tell me the rest of it in summary. What did the Prophet ﷺ say in summary? Naam. That I intended, I considered seriously to do what? To order somebody to establish the prayer, order a man to lead the salah, and then to go out with some men carrying bundles of wood. فَأُحَرِّقَ عَلَيْهِمْ بُيُوتُهُمْ بِالنَّارِ. Burn down their houses with fire. يعني burn down upon them. أحرق عليهم while they're inside of them. Burn down their houses. In this hadith, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم described them as hypocrites, the people who remain behind. Because he said what? Go down to the houses of إلى قوم لا يشهدون الصلاة. People, he didn't say people who are not making salah, he said people who are not attending the salah in jama'ah. لا يشهدون الصلاة. فأحرق عليهم بيوتهم بالنار. So this hadith is a very important hadith, the hadith of Abu Hurairah reported by Bukhari and Muslim. A lot of people get confused about this hadith, it's crystal clear. The Prophet ﷺ described them with hypocrisy and he also threatened with burning down their houses while they're inside of them. For what? Not for abandoning salah, for abandoning the jama'ah in the masjid. After this, mention the response of the Prophet ﷺ, question number 5. Mention the response of the Prophet ﷺ to the blind man who asks for permission to pray in his home. What was the response of the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Abdullah?
He said, first the blind man asked the question. Then he said yes the first time.
Now he asked him for permission to be able to pray in his home, and the Prophet gave him permission.
When
he turned away, he called him back and he said what to him?
He said, well, can you, hear it?
Do you hear what?
The
adhan, the nida. Hal tasma al nida bis salat? Do you hear the call to the prayer? He said yes. He said what? Fa ajib, command. Fa, therefore then, if you hear, ajib, you must respond, you must come. This is a blind man. Prophet ﷺ told him, you have to come. What about the rest of us? What is our excuse? How come, what excuse do we have for not attending the salat in jama'ah? What excuse do we have? You're blind? That's not an excuse. Tell him you gotta come too. Naam. Question number 6. Memorize the complete hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Whoever hears the call to prayer then does not come to it. Who memorized this hadith? Naam, Ibrahim.
من سمع النداء فلم يأتيه فلا صلاة له إلا من عذر.
إلا من عذر. What is the meaning of it?
Whoever hears the call to prayer and does not go to it. There's no prayer for him except from a valid excuse.
Naam, whoever hears the call, yani the call to prayer, man sami al-nida, falam ya'tihi. But then he didn't come to it, fala salata. La nafil al-jins. Fala salata. So there's no salat. La salata lahu. Illa min udhr. Unless he has an udhr, yani a shara'i, legal shara'i excuse. Like a person is too sick to move. Or a person's in danger, their life is in danger if they were to go out of the house. And maybe they're rioting in the streets, you can't get out of your house. Or they're having a gang fight in front of your house, the Bloods and the Crips. Insanity, right? Maybe you can't go out then. These people ain't got no sense. They don't have no respect for anything. Not even their own mother and father. Their own children or their families. They don't respect anything. Animals. Wallahi, they're animals. No, I'm sorry. That's disrespect to the animals. They're less than animals. Allahu musta'an. Unless you have a legitimate excuse. Okay, question number 7. Discuss the ikhtilaf, difference of opinion based on this hadith, mentioning which view is most correct. Yani, what is the ikhtilaf based on this previously mentioned hadith? Naam. Who I didn't hear from? Yeah. Sali, naam. Now, whoever doesn't attend the jama'ah after hearing the adhan, his salah is nullified, it's invalid. That's one opinion. Second opinion?
In the second opinion,
which is the more correct opinion? Now,
the person will attain a great sin.
Now, the person who doesn't attend, he will be a sin against him, a severe, serious sin. Now, and? What's the other thing?
And the anger of Allah.
Be upon him, and the anger of Allah be upon him. And the correct opinion is that it is definitely serious sin, and the wrath of Allah is upon the person who doesn't attend the jama'ah without having an excuse. And the last question, discuss the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked about the presence of certain people for the subh prayer. Naam. Discuss this hadith. What is this hadith? What is happening in this hadith? Hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b, Abdullah.
Used to survey
the people after the salat.
So Egyptian prayer, which is Fajr.
Fajr.
And he asked, Ashahidu Fulan.
Meaning?
Is so and so present
for the Salat?
For the Salat and Jama'ah. And they said, La.
They said, no.
And then he repeated it. He asked, Ashahidu Fulan. They said, La. So he said, are these two Salats, meaning the Salat of Fajr and Salat of Isha, it is the heaviest of salawat upon the hypocrites. And had they only known the virtues that they contain within them, then they would have came to them even while calling.
Naam. This hadith is about what? The Prophet ﷺ reviewing, monitoring, checking on the people for their attendance in the salat. This happened, the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b was in the Fajr prayer. The Prophet ﷺ led them in the Fajr prayer, Salatul Subh. And after the prayer he asks, is so-and-so present? They said, no. He said, is so-and-so present? He's asking about those who you don't find there. And then he said, "This the importance of attending the prayer is so important that he repeated what we mentioned in the previous hadith. Inna hataini as-salataini. These two prayers. He means this prayer is what prayer? Subh, Fajr. And the other one he means is the Isha prayer. Min athqali as-salawat ala al-munafiqeen. It's from the most difficult, most burdensome, heaviest prayers on the hypocrites. And if they had known what is in them, what they contain of value, of reward, of status, then they would have come even if they had to come crawling. Wallahi, wallahi, this is something for us to reflect upon, to ponder over, and to question our hearts. And if we were in the time of the Prophet ﷺ and we didn't attend the Fajr prayer, this is a clear sign of hypocrisy. You are a hypocrite. Nobody was absent from the Fajr prayer, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, except a hypocrite whose hypocrisy was known. And he's a hypocrite whose hypocrisy wasn't known, he used to come. Because they didn't know yet. But the one who was known, there's no need for him to attend. Because the hypocrite attends the prayer only to be seen. But if the people already know he's a hypocrite, no need for him to come. Those are the only people who didn't attend. So we have to look at ourselves. We have to question, what is wrong. Tonight, inshallah, we want to finish this topic that we began last week from chapter 9. Of the obligation and importance of the congregation attending the congregational prayer in the masjids, with some evidences that the Shaykh mentions that are critical, and some comments from some of the scholars, and the mention of some rewards. And in the end, there's a question on that is missing from the study guide. And this morning I realized that I left out one of the questions. There should have been an extra question at the end. So you can just write that question in the end. That question is, he mentioned three ways that the shaitan, turuq, that the shaitan used to turn the Muslims away from the prayer. That's the question that was left out of the study guide. Three ways, three turuq, and the shaitan has many ways. But three things that the shaitan tries to do to get people to turn away from the salat, mention three of them. Inshallah, we sent out a modified study guide this morning. So if you check your email, inshallah, you have it. But the question, that's the final question that should have been there. We missed it. Subhanallah. Tayyib. And that final question is the final thing that the Shaykh mentions in this chapter. The things that Shaytan tries to do to get people away from the prayer. And then when we look at ourselves, we'll see how he's working on us. Wallahi, how he's working on us. Now, don't imagine that it's somebody else. No, it's me and you. Alaykum salam. It's not somebody else, it's us. Okay, so we left off last week with this, the hadith of Ubay ibn Ka'b, where the Prophet ﷺ led them in the Fajr prayer, and he asked, was so-and-so present, he said, these two prayers are the most difficult on the hypocrites of all prayers, and if they had known what was in them, they would have come to them even crawling. Reported by Abu Dawud and Nasai, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it's Hassan in the Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud. After this, the Shaykh, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. By the way, we're reading from the book what? Ta'zeem as-salat. Ta'zeem as-salat. Acknowledging, attaching great importance to the salat. Attaching great importance to it. Recognizing its magnificence and its lofty status in the life of a Muslim. Acknowledging this tremendous act of worship. Giving it its proper due. Recognizing its importance as it is due to the one who is the supreme, the magnificent, the great. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-azim. The Shaykh says, وَلَقَدْ بَلَغَ مِنْ اِحْتِمَامِ صَدْرِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بصلاة الجماعة ما رواه ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه. يعني the اهتمام, the care and attention that was given to the salah and jama'ah by the first generation of this ummah, meaning the companions, the sahaba رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. Their اهتمام reached the level, what level? Of concern and care about the salah and jama'ah, that it reached a point that Abdul ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه described them as, he said, لَقَدَ رَأَيْتُنَا. He means the companions. I saw us, the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَمَا يَتَخَلَّفُ عَنْهَا إِلَّا مُنَافِقٌ مَعْلُومٌ النِّفَاقِ. يعني I saw us, the companions of the Prophet, in a condition such that no one, مَا يَتَخَلَّفُ عَنْهَا, عن salat, الجماعه, no one remained behind the salat الجماعه except a hypocrite whose hypocrisy was well known. And then he ended his statement by saying, وَلَقَدْ كَانَ الرَّجُلْ يُؤْتَى بِهِ يُحَادَ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ حَتَّى يُقَامَ فِي الصَّفْ. That a man would be brought who couldn't even walk. يُؤْتَى, يعني لَقَدْ كَانَ الرَّجُلْ يُؤْتَى بِهِ, يعني he was brought, he didn't come, he was brought. يُحَادَ بَيْنَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ, being carried, being lifted between two men, carrying one under each arm, carrying him. حَتَّى يُقَامَ فِي الصَّفْ, until he was set up in the line, and he placed in a position in the rank to pray in the jama'ah. This is the description of sahaba. Such that what? Nobody remained behind except a hypocrite who was well known. And a man who wasn't a hypocrite, even if he couldn't walk, people would carry him to the masjid. He would say, somebody help me to get to the masjid, to be in the jama'ah. And we know this, yani, is the qudwa, yani, the example that they took from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we mentioned early on, in the sickness from which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, that one day he felt a little better and he was strong enough to get up and have somebody carry him out to join the congregational prayer. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This statement of Abd ibn Mas'ud is mentioned by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. So the Shaykh, he says after mentioning this, so if there was a man from amongst them who wasn't able to walk due to sickness or due to his, yani, his old age, he was elderly, he couldn't even walk, then they would take him under his arms, his upper arms, and they would help him, yani, to walk until, yani, they placed him in the rank of the Muslims for the salat. And all of this was because their hearts, مُدْرِقَةٌ تَمَامَ الْإِدْرَاكِ مَكَانَةَ الصَّلَاةِ وَقِيمَتَهَا, because their hearts had reached a consciousness, awareness, a knowledge, with complete recognition of the status of salah and its value. Their hearts had this yani awareness, complete awareness of the status of the salah and the value of this salat in jama'ah. This is what made them be like this. So when the status of the salat was magnified like this in their hearts, then their weak bodies, even though they were old and weak and sick, moved. It caused their bodies to move because of what was in their hearts. Even though their bodies were weak, it caused them to move and to go to the masjids, even though they were severely weak. Severely weak. And then the Shaykh says, Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, Hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, he said, we have seen, yani in our own lifetime, he's talking about himself, we have seen that amongst the salihin min ibadillah jalla wa ala min kibar sin, some of the righteous worshippers of Allah from amongst the elderly, kibar sin, ya'ati bi bunyatin da'ifatin wa jismin da'ifin wa quwwa da'ifatin yatahamalu bi shiddatin li yuhafidha ala salat في بيوت الله كما أمره الله كما أمره الله سبحانه وتعالى. يعني we saw some of the elderly from the righteous worshippers of Allah with weak physique and weak bodies, meaning the condition of their body, their health, and with يعني lack of strength, struggling just to get up on their feet with great difficulty in order to guard this prayer in the houses of Allah, yarhamukallah, as Allah has commanded. struggling to get to the prayer in the masajid. And this attempt to preserve the prayer, to guard the prayer, to give care to it, goes back to the greatness of their hearts and the magnitude of the status of the salat and the value of the salat in their hearts. Yani the magnitude of this salat in their hearts is what enabled them to make this type of effort. As far as these people, Ashab al-Abdan al-Sahihah, yani the people who have healthy bodies, and al-Quwwa al-Tayyib al-Hasanah, they have strength, na'am, but they are remaining behind from the salat. These people, they are, yani the iman that is in their hearts, the iman in their hearts concerning the value of the prayer and the status of the prayer is weak. So the action is weak. Yani the action that follows the weakness of the iman in their hearts, yani weak action. Weak action. يقول سعيد بن مسيب رحمه الله ما فاتتني صلاة الجماعة منذ 40 سنة. يقول سعيد بن مسيب رحمه الله. The salat in jama'ah, I didn't miss the salat in jama'ah since 40 years. This is unimaginable to us. Most of us, we don't even know what it's like to pray for 40 years. I mean, to be a praying person for 40 years. Forget about making the prayer 5 times a day for 40 years in the masjid in jama'ah. Ma fatatni salatul jama'ah mundhu 40 sana. And which one of us can say that since 40 days, not 40 years, 40 days, 40 weeks, 40 months, he didn't miss one salat in jama'ah? I mean, subhanAllah, if somebody says that, we'll say, mashaAllah. 40 days? No, he didn't say 40 days. He didn't say 40 weeks. That's not even a year. He didn't even say 40 months, like 3 or 4 years. He said 40 years. Naam. Rahimahullah. Whose daughter was Sa'id married to? Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu. Abu Hurairah married his daughter to this man, Sa'id ibn Musayyib. Why? Because of his ilm and his amal as-salih. Even though he was a poor man, he didn't have anything. He had knowledge, he had righteous actions. Abu Hurairah gave his daughter to him. A treasure. Abu Hurairah, radiallahu anhu. Now, who wants to give their daughter to us? I'm saying us just to be, you know. Yani, some of us, we're already old, but you guys, I'm talking about. Young people. Naam, Allahu Musta'an. So let us reflect. How many of the people in one day, in 1 week, how many times the Salat in Jama'ah has passed them by? In one day. They missed, how many Salat in Jama'ah? Some people, they missed all 5 of them. Some people miss most of them, 3 or 4. Some people, if they made one Salat in Jama'ah, they're counting that as big time. How many people today, in one day, how many Salat in Jama'ah passed them by? In 1 week, how many Salat in Jama'ah passed them by? If we were to keep records of it, it would be disgusting. We would burn them. And in this time of ours, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the elderly, the kabir of sin, with, yani, what do you call them? Moving chairs. What do they call it? Wheelchairs. Wheelchairs. With wheelchairs. Which some of them, some of the elderly, insist upon their dutiful sons to push them to the masjids in order to preserve the salat in jama'ah with weak physique. And this is from that which reminds us of the condition of a salaf al-kiram, the noble early generations of the Muslims. These elderly people remind us of that. They insist, they persist in forcing their dutiful sons. Notice he said, their dutiful sons. عَلَىٰ أَبْنَائِهِ الْبَرَرَىٰ. Dutiful sons. Whoever has a dutiful son, they are fortunate in this day and time. Children are not dutiful. Naam. Allahu musta'an. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I'm not reading from the book now, I'm just reminding us of a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's in Bukhari. He said, which of the deeds is most beloved to Allah? Ayya al-amal ahabbu ila Allah. Which deed is most beloved to Allah? Huh? As-salatu ala waqtiha. Thumma ay, then after that what? Birru walidain. After salat on time, birru walidain. Ahabbu al-a'mal ila Allah. Birru walidain. And in another hadith that we took when we were doing the character class, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ala unabbiukum bi akbar al-kabair." Shall I not inform you of the greatest of the major sins? Not just major sins, the worst of them, of the major sins. And he repeated it three times, and they said, "Bala ya Rasulullah." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-ishrak billahi wa uquq al-walidain." Naam. Ishraq billahi, and after that what? Disobedience to your parents. What's the deed most beloved to Allah after salat in his time? Being dutiful to your parents. And what's the worst of the major sins after making shirk with Allah? Being disobedient to your parents. So the Shaykh, he said, they insist on their dutiful children to push them to the masjids in their effort to guard this prayer, even with weak bodies. And this is from that which reminds us of the condition of the Salaf al-Kiram. Isn't it something, yani, worthy to be a reminder for the Shabab, those who have good health and strong bodies, that they take this as a lesson, yani, from these elderly people who are getting to the masjid any way that they can? To take advantage of this, yani, opportunity, this great opportunity, to feel, to experience, to become aware of the value of the salat and its great status. And not to live like these young people who are mu'awwaqeen, yani who are disabled. It's as though they are disabled from khair. They are not able to do good. They are not willing to do good. They are mahrumeen min al-fada'il wal-rafi'a aw al-rif'a 'inda Allah jalla wa ala. Naam. They are deprived of virtuous deeds and the high, lofty station that is with Allah Jalla wa Ala for those who worship Him. The Shaykh says the place, the makan of the Salatul Jama'ah, huwa al-masajid. Yani the place of Salatul Jama'ah is not your business place. It's not your home. It's not the community center. The place of Salatul Jama'ah is the masajid. Person not able, that's different. Person not able, they're not capable, they have no way, that's different. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the people who are able to go to the masjid. The place for Salatul Jama'ah is in the masjids. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah, 36th ayat, أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ. Yani the beginning of the ayat, فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَن تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا إِسْمُهُ. Yani in houses, yani the masjids, which Allah has commanded that they be raised up and that they be maintained and kept clean and respected. In houses, fi buyutin, yani masajid, adhin Allahu, yani Allah adhin Allah, amr Allah, and turfa, that they be raised up and maintained. Wa yudhkara fiha ismu, and that His name be mentioned in them. This is the place for the salat in jama'ah. And it is, as the Shaykh said, it is the joy or comfort of the eyes of the people of Iman, Salat and Jama'ah in the masjid. And it is the comfort of their souls and the joy or delight of their chests. And it is the object of pleasure of their hearts and the intimacy of their minds, their thoughts. It's yani their rest and their happiness or good fortune. Yani this, what? All of these are descriptions of what? The Salat and Jama'ah in the masjids for the people of Iman. So the rest, Rahat al-Mu'min wa sa'adatuhu wa hana'atuhu wa ladhatuhu fi hadhihi al-masajid allati hiya habbu al-biqa' ila Allah. Yani the rest or comfort, the relaxation of the believer in his happiness and bliss and sweetness is in the masjids, which are the most beloved places to Allah. Yani the most beloved places in the earth, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith reported by Imam Muslim, not in the book, just mention this as a point, yani to support that the Shaykh is saying that the masjid will be loved, most beloved places in the earth to Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أحب البلاد إلى الله مساجدها. أحب البلاد إلى الله مساجدها. The most beloved places in the earth to Allah is the masjids. The masjids. وَأَبْغَضُ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَسْوَاقُهَا. And the most hated, detestable places to Allah in the earth are the aswaq, the souks, the marketplaces. Some people go in the marketplace, they can stay there all day, never get tired of being in the souk. Go in the masjid, as soon as the salat is over, they're running out the door. Allah, is something wrong with that? Ask yourself, where are you running to? You just came in the masjid, make salat, where are you running to? This is the best place in the earth. Where are you running to? Unless you're compelled by some emergency, where are you running to? Why are you running out of the masjid? Where are you going? You have to catch a bus or a plane or something? Fine, no problem. But every day, every salat, you see some people, they pop up like Jack in the Box. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Running out the masjid. Hasbunallah wa ni'am al-wakil. The most beloved places in the earth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the masajid. And this is a matter that is understood by every person, every praying person, every person who goes to the masjids, yani with purity of intention for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and having yani a desire to get near to Allah, husn wa taqarrub ilayhi, yani who have a good desire to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the extent that the sheikh is saying, the speaker, on this occasion, yani when he was given the khutbah on this topic, he said, I am speaking about myself, that my worries and my grief and my distress are relieved when I go to the masjid for salat and jama'ah. And nothing of it remains. And I find rest and comfort and tranquility in the salat and jama'ah in the masjids. So the Shaykh, he said, شُحُودُهَا مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ فِي بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ وَمَسَاجِدِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَمَا أَمَرَ بِذَلِكَ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَكَمَا أَمَرَ بِذَلِكَ رَسُولُهُ الْكَرِيمُ صلى الله عليه وسلم شَعِيرَةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ مِنْ شَعَرِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمَعْلَمٌ عَظِيمٌ مِنْ مَعَالِمِ الرُّجُولَةِ بِشَهَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. يعني شُهُودُهَا مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ فِي بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ, يعني being present for the salat in jama'ah, being present for this salat along with the congregation in the houses of Allah, the masjids of the Muslims, as we have been commanded to do so by Rabbul Alameen, and as we have been commanded to do so by Rasuluhu Al-Kareem, His noble Prophet, Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, being present for this salat and jama'ah in the masjids, as we have been commanded by Allah and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is a sha'ira azima min sha'ir al-Islam. Yani it's one of the great, magnificent signs or religious symbols of Islam, the salat and jama'ah in the masjids. Yani when you look at the things that you see the Muslims doing, from amongst the greatest of those things, that is the sign of Islam, the salat and jama'ah in the masjid. This is tremendous. And because we don't recognize this, we don't see its importance, we abandoned it. But the other people, I remember 40 years ago, a person told me he became a Muslim because he was in jail in Washington, D.C., in a holding pen with a whole bunch of people, and it came time for Salat, there was a Muslim there who got up and started praying. He said he never seen anything like that before. That was a person praying by himself. Imagine they see Salat and Jama'ah. He said that affected him so much, he started asking, what is this Islam? They do something like, what is that? He's looking at this thing, is amazing. He said he became a Muslim when he saw that. I mean, not immediately, but that was where it started at. Now, imagine the Salat and Jama'ah. All the people standing, bowing, prostrating together, subhanallah. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This is one of the great signs of the symbols of Islam. وَمَعْلَمٌ عَظِيمٌ مِنْ مَعْلَمْ الرُّجُولَ. And it is a distinguishing, a great, magnificent, distinguishing characteristic from the characteristics of manhood. From the characteristics of manhood. Naam. By the testimony or the witness of Rabbul Alameen. He is the one who said so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qala Allah ta'ala, going back to Surah An-Nur 24, Surah 36 and 37th ayah. في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع. يعني in houses that Allah has commanded that they be raised up, established and maintained. ويذكر فيها اسمه. And his name, the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is mentioned in these houses that Allah has commanded to be raised up. يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال. And he is glorified, praised, and magnified. His perfection is declared in these houses, in the early parts of the day, and in the later parts of the day. And Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, he said in his tafsir of this ayah, he said this means Salatul Subh and Salatul Asr, the Fajr prayer and the Asr prayer. In the next ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala added to this, رِجَالٌ لا تلحيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة. To the end of the ayat. Yani men who are not distracted, not by trade, nor buying and selling. They are not distracted from the remembrance of Allah and the establishment of the prayer. Men who are not distracted by buying and selling or trade, business. They are not distracted by these things from the remembrance of Allah and the establishment of the salat in the masjids. Some of the scholars of tafsir explain that the meaning of rijalun here goes back to the previous ayat. Some of them said, يُصَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ رِجَالٌ. Yani in the previous ayat, يُصَبِّحُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِ وَالْعَصَالِ means يُصَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ, that they are glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, declaring His perfection. Who is doing that? رِجَالٌ, men. That they are men. And some of the scholars said, yani that goes back to the beginning of the ayat, that they are men, رِجَالٌ فِي بُيُوتٍ, who are in the houses that Allah has commanded to be raised up, and which His name is being remembered, and His perfection is being declared morning and evening. These men are those who are not distracted by buying and selling from the remembrance of Allah and the establishment of the salah. In any case, the point is that in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the people who are doing this, who are remembering Allah in the places that He has commanded to be raised up, the houses of Allah, the masajid. He said he described these people as men, rijalun. And the Shaykh is saying that this is a clear distinguishing sign of manhood. That men attend the masjids for the praise and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who are not distracted by any affair. When the call for prayer comes, they are not distracted from anything, or they are not distracted by anything. This is what Allah, the Rabbul Alameen, has said. So where are the characteristics of manhood from those who remain behind from the Salat in Jama'ah? And they take the Salat in Jama'ah to be something easy, and it has no significance. They think it as a small matter, its affair, yani is insignificant, and its status or its position to them is insignificant. It has to be insignificant if there are people who don't come to the masjid to pray in Jama'ah. There are plenty of people, maybe most of the people, don't come to the masjid to pray in Jama'ah. That's because they don't think it's important. And if they thought it was important, they would be here. As the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, if they thought they would get a bone with a lot of meat on it, they would be attending. A bone with some meat. Imagine if they were going to get a whole pizza pie, or some fried chicken, or some money, if they was giving out money. If they was giving out money, they would be here 5 times a day, every time to collect, even if it was just $5 or $10. People stand on the street begging in front of cars to get that much all day long. Come to the masjid and just get it. They would be here, those people, not us. Alhamdulillah, we come for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make our hearts sincere and make our intentions pure. That we come to the masjid to worship Him for Him alone, not for any worldly benefit, not to be seen by anyone. Rather, because we know this is important and we ourselves are in need. Wallahi, we are in need. That's why we are coming here, because we are in need. Huh? Especially if you know that you pray alone, the reward you're going to get, in comparison, you pray in Jama'ah is going to be what? In Jama'ah, 25 or 27 times more. If you're in need, then you'll be coming for that. You're not in need, stay home. I'm saying, don't stay home, but stupid person who thinks he's not in need will stay at home. The Shaykh, he says, the hukum concerning the salat in jama'ah, he doesn't say that, I'm saying that. He's talking about the hukum concerning salat in jama'ah, that is fard ayn. يقول الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله ومن تأمل السنة حق تأمل تبين له أن فعلها في المساجد فرض على الأعيان. That whoever, الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله says, whoever reflects upon the sunnah in the way that it deserves to be pondered over, not a passing reading. You read that hadith, I read that before. Did you reflect upon it? Did you ponder over it? Did you read it like you read the newspaper? Or did you ponder over it the way the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is revelation. وَمَا يَنْتِكُ عَنَ الْحَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحِيُّهَا. It's revelation. If whoever ponders over it the way it deserves to be pondered over, تَبَيْنَ لَهُ أَنَّ فِعْلَهَا فِي الْمَسَاجِدْ فَرْضٌ عَلَى الْآيَانِ. It will become clear, without any doubt, that performing the prayer in jama'ah in the masjid is فَرْضٌ عَلَى الْآيَانِ. Yani it's obligatory on every individual, illa li'aridin yajuzu ma'hu tark al-jama'ah, except that a person has something, obstacle, yani impediment, temporary obstruction, something that stops him, yani temporarily prevents him from attending, then it's permissible in that case for him, yani to abandon the jama'ah, except in that case, a person has some legitimate excuse, that's different. The Shaykh, he says, al-Imam al-Qayyim, and this is very important to pay attention to the language that he's using here because related to what follows it. فَتَرْكُهُ دُورَ الْمَسَاجِدِ لِغَيْرِ عُذْرٍ كَتَرْكْ أَصْلِ الْجَمَاعَةِ لِغَيْرِ عُذْرٍ. Yani abandoning being present in the masjids, abandoning being present in the masjid without an excuse is the same as abandoning the salat in jama'ah itself. Yani if you believe that salat in jama'ah is obligatory, and it is, well, abandoning the salat in the masjid is the same as abandoning the salat in jama'ah. Yani the ruling is the same. It's not just sufficient. Some young boys, their uncle called and said, my nephew's here, they want to know, is it okay for them to pray at home? They have five or six of them, young teenagers. And most of the time the masjid is not open near the house. So is it okay for them to pray at home? I told him, no. Call the imam and tell him to open the masjid. Find some way to get in the masjid. Pray in the masjid. Because salat in jama'ah is not sufficient. Rather, salat in jama'ah has to be prayed in the masjid. Listen to what Ibn Qayyim is saying here. He's saying abandoning being present in the masjids without a legitimate excuse is the same as abandoning the salat in jama'ah. Yani, if you abandon the attendance at the masjid, it's like you abandon salat in jama'ah. So what's the sense of praying in jama'ah in your house? The salat in jama'ah is in the masjid. It's in the masjid. And with this, the hadith, yani, become into agreement, and they are joined together, yani, the athar, so that there's no conflict or contradiction when we understand what? That attending the salat in the masjid is the same as the ruling of participating in the salat in jama'ah. And it came in a fatwa of the Lajna Da'ima wal-Ifta, yani, the standing or permanent committee of scholars, of yani, for making legal rulings in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. May Allah protect and preserve them. They're saying, وَأَمَّا فِعْلُهَا جَمَاعَةً فَوَاجِبٌ وُجُوبًا عَيْنِيًّا. Yani this came as part of the fatwa. As far as performing the salat in jama'ah, then it is obligatory. Yani on every individual. وُجُوبًا عَيْنِيًّا. Keeping in mind, right? Keeping in mind that the ruling concerning the salat in the masjid is the same as the ruling concerning salat in jama'ah. So if the salat in jama'ah is obligatory on every individual, then in the performing in the masjid is also obligatory on every individual. Also, fi dhalika al-kitabi wa-sunnah. And the basis of this ruling is the book, they said, the book and the sunnah. Then they mention, may Allah protect and preserve those of them who are living, and may Allah have mercy upon those of them who have passed away. Then they mention, yani, a number of evidences from the book and the sunnah proving this point. And we have already covered so many of the evidences from the book and the sunnah proving this point. After this, the Shaykh says, where's the time? After this, the Shaykh says, yani as we come near the end, alhamdulillah, Shaykh says, وَقَدْ وَرَدَ فِي فَضْلِ سَلَاةِ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ حَدِيثِ كَثِيرَةٌ لَا يَصَعُ الْمَقَامُ لِذِكْرِهَا. Yani, so many hadith have yani come to us concerning the excellence or the virtue of performing the salah in congregation, and this is not the, we don't have yani the ability or the time to mention them all here, but we will mention some of them. From amongst them, that which is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim concerning what? The excellence of performing the salat in jama'ah. And we mean by salat in jama'ah, we also mean what? Salat in jama'ah where? In the masjids. Don't forget about the masjid. He's saying salat in jama'ah, but he means salat in jama'ah in the masjids. Listen to these hadith. And we will be at the end, inshallah. Only one point remaining after these hadith. That which is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ said, I hope somebody memorized some of these hadith. إذا توضأ فأحسن الوضوء. إذا توضأ فأحسن الوضوء. If a person performs the wudu and does it well, ثم خرج إلى المسجد لا يخرجه إلا الصلاة. Then after making wudu and performing it well, person goes out to the masjid. They make wudu for salat, right? And he goes out to the masjid. And nothing brought him out of his house to the masjid except salat. He didn't go to the masjid because they were serving food there that day. Or there was a walim or aqiqa. He went to the masjid for salat. لا يخرجه إلا الصلاة. The only thing that caused him to go out is the salat. That was his whole intention. لم يخطو خطوة إلا رفعت له بها درجة عدت عنه بها خطية. He didn't take one step except for every step that he took, رُفِيَتْ لَهُ بِهَا دَرَجَةٌ. A daraja, a level, he will be raised up one level by every step that he took. وَحُطَّ عَنْهُ بِهَا خَطِيَةٌ. And a sin will be removed from him for every step. Every step that a person takes, no matter how many steps it is. Unless you live around the corner, if you live around the corner, it will be hundreds of steps. Even if you live around the corner, it will be hundreds of steps. For every step that you take, you will be raised up one degree, and a khatiyah, a sin, will be removed from you. If you made wudu and done it, performed it well, and then went out to the masjid for no reason except for the salat, every step that you take, forget about the reward for the salat, we're just talking about the steps now to the masjid. Because this hadith is talking about what? The virtue of going to the masjid, the reward for going to the masjid. There's a different reward for salat. There's a different reward for waiting for the salat. There's a different reward for waiting from one salat to the next salat. We're talking about the steps that a person is taking walking to the masjid. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Second hadith, وَثَبَتَ فِي صَحِيْهِ مُسْلِمْ Hadith Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه, and the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى مَا يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْخَطَايَا. Shall I not point you, direct you to that with which Allah removed, due to which Allah removes sins? Shall I point you to that which, due to it Allah removes sins? وَيَرَفَعُ بِهِ الدَّرَجَاتِ And He raises up a person degrees or levels. Shall I not direct you to this thing? قَالُوا بَلَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ They said, of course, O Messenger of Allah. قَالَ Three things he mentioned. إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوْ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوْ عَلَى الْمَكَارِهِ Yani that a person performs wudu thoroughly. Thorough, proper, good wudu ala al-makari. In a time of hardship and difficulty. Meaning, maybe it's freezing and you don't have no heat in your house. And there's no hot water. And the water is cold in the middle of the winter. And you're making a good wudu in spite of all of that. It's bagul wudu ala al-makari. Because even though it's difficult, still you're going to make a good... You're not going to say, this water's too cold, I'm just going to make a quick something. We're going to make a isbagul wudu. Perfect, yani efficient, good wudu. وَكَثْرَةُ الْخُطَى إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ And taking a lot of steps to the masjid. كَثْرَةُ الْخُطَى إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ Taking a lot of steps. And this is the shahid in this hadith. Yani that we're talking about what? Going to the masjid. This is one of the things due to which Allah raises up degrees and removes sins. كَثْرَةُ الْخُطَى إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ I've taken a lot of steps to the masjid. I don't know if it makes a difference to take small steps or big steps. But anyway, a lot of steps. Don't be afraid of taking a lot of steps to the masjid. If you can't find a parking space close to the masjid, it's good. Give you some more steps. وَانْتِظَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ And waiting for the salat after you have performed the salat. انْتِظَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ You already made salat? You know what? I'm going to wait for the next salat. You don't really have no place to go. You're not pressed. You don't have to go back to work. You're just going home just to cool out. You know, maybe, who knows what you're going to do. Inshallah, you're not going to do anything bad. But, you know what? I'll stay in the masjid to the next salat. If we haven't been doing it, we need to do it sometime. Wallahi, it's a wonderful thing. Waiting. After making salat, staying in the masjid, waiting for the next salat. Don't be so in a hurry to leave the masjid. This is one of the things due to which Allah raises people degrees and remove their sins. That a person what? Perform the salat and wait for the next salat. If you say, I'm too busy, I can't do it. That's up to you. But if you find a day where you're not busy, take advantage even that one day. Even if it's only one day a week you're really not busy, stay in the masjid from one salat to the next one. Even one time from Maghrib to Isha. From Dhuhr to Asr. Something from Asr to Maghrib. Stay in the masjid. I mean, that's my advice. The Prophet promised a great reward for a person. This hadith reported by Imam Muslim. And the third hadith, في الصحيحين البخاري مسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من غدا إلى المسجد أو راحة أعد الله له في الجنة نزلا كلما غدا أو راحة. يعني whoever goes out to the masjid, يعني in the early part of the day, morning, or أو راحة, or goes to the masjid in the evening, in the later part of the day. And there's some difference of opinion about these expressions of what they mean. But yani the two possible meanings is goes out to the masjid in return, or goes out to the masjid in the early part of the day, or in the later part of the day. Or in the later part of the day. Whoever goes out to the masjid in the early part of the day, or in the later part of the day, in the evening, أَعَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ نُزُلًا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for him in Jannah, Nuzulan. Nuzulan means yani a place and the provisions that a person needs when they're coming, yani to visit. Yani you're hosting somebody, when they get to your house after a journey, you give them a place to sleep and you give them food, bedding, everything that they need, yani makan and dhiyafa. This is Nuzul. Allah will prepare for you in Jannah a place and everything that you need to rest in it. In Jannah. كُلَّمَا غَدَى أَوْ رَحَى. Every time you go out and come back. Or every time you go out in the morning or go out in the evening. Every time. Allah prepares for you. نُزُلًا. The Shaykh, he says this, and that's, yani, this is a hadith he mentioned concerning the rewards of praying in the masjid, in Jama'ah. And then he says, and by the way, this same hadith in Bukhari, this is the wording of Muslim. In the narration of Bukhari, it's slightly different. In the narration of Bukhari, he said, "من غدا إلى المسجد وراحة." And this meaning, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said, it means whoever goes out goes out to the masjid and returns. يعني الذهاب والرجوع. Whoever goes out to the masjid and returns. And he's slightly different wording. He said, "من غدا إلى المسجد وراحة." In the narration of Muslim, said, "من غدا إلى المسجد أو راحة." عد الله له. In this narration, عد الله له نزله من الجنة كلما غَدَى أَوْ رَحَى. And the meaning is almost the same. Yani Allah will prepare for him yani a place and the provisions that a person needs, hospitality, accommodations in Jannah, every time he goes out or comes back. Shaykh says, وَالشَّيْطَان أَعَاذَنَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ. May Allah protect us from him. He is eager with every bit of eagerness to turn the Muslim away from this salat. This shows you how important it is. If shaitan is every effort that he can make to get you from not going to the salat in the masjid in jama'ah, he's eager, kullu hirs, yani completely eager to turn the Muslim away from the salat because of his knowledge that the Muslim, if he turns away from the salat, he will turn away from the remaining ahkam of the deen. And if a person turns away from salat, khalas, nothing's going to be left. But we turn away from salat, they're gone, they're done. Shaitan knows that. In this case, he would have lost every bit of goodness. فَإِنَّهُ لَا دِينَ لِمَنْ لَا صَلَاتَ لَهُ. The person who doesn't make salat has no deen. وَلَا حَظَّ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ لِمَنْ ضَيَّعَ الصَّلَاتِ. And there's no portion of Islam for the person who lost the salat. And this is as it was said by the Prophet ﷺ in a hadith that we mentioned early on, آخر ما تفقدون من دينكم الصلاة. يعني the last of that which you would lose from your deen is the salat. Meaning when that's done, there's nothing left after that. That's it. That's it. This hadith, يعني, we mentioned like early on, Tabarani mentioned in Kabir, and Hakim mentioned in Mustadrak and others, and Shaykh al-Albani and Sahih has said that it was Sahih. So the shaitan comes to the Muslim to turn him away from the salat by many different ways. Turuq kathira, by many different ways. So if he is able to prevent the Muslim from the salat bil kulliya, yani just prevent him from making salat completely, I mean that's his first goal, just to get him don't make no salat. If he's able to do that, then he will exert every effort, all that he's able to do, to prevent the Muslim from praying. He already got a lot of people. I say a lot of people. Because a person who abandons salat intentionally, willingly, knowingly, is not even a Muslim anymore. The Prophet ﷺ said, الأحد الذي بيننا وبينهم الصلاة فمن تركها فقد كفر. The Ahd, the covenant is between us and them, the kufar that separates us from them, is salat. فمن تركها, whoever abandons it, فقد كفر, has definitely fallen into kufr. That's his first goal. Whoever he can prevent from the salat bil kulliya, completely, totally, then he exerts every effort, everything that he's able to get him to do that. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَتَمَكَّنْ مِنْ مَنْعِهِ مِنْهَا. But if he's not able to get him to abandon salat completely, then he tricks him and deceives him and prevents him from the salat ma'al jama'ah. Can't get him to stop praying, then at least get him to, don't pray in jama'ah. He got a lot of people with that. A lot of people are not praying in jama'ah. A lot of people are not praying in jama'ah. Ever. They don't ever go to the masjid. Except maybe on Jumu'ah or on Eid. That's it. Some people don't even go to Jumu'ah. They just go Eid. Some people don't pray at all. Khalas. They just abandon Islam completely. You can't get them to abandon Salat completely. Get them to abandon the Jama'ah. ثُمَّ بِمَنِعِهِ مِنْ أَدَائِهَا فِي وَقْتِهَا. And then, along with that, once he can get them to abandon the Jama'ah, then he will prevent him from performing the prayer in his time. Yani, because once he gets away from the Jama'ah, you got, in order to pray in Jama'ah, you got to pray on time, right? So if he gets them to abandon the Jama'ah, now he gets them to abandon the time of the Salat, along with that. And he don't even pray on time. Because what? The Salat is at what time? I missed the Jama'ah. Ah, got plenty of time left. Huh? And before you know it, the next Salat is in. Oh, he got you. He got you to abandon the Jama'ah, got you to abandon the time for Salat. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِيَ مَنُهُ عَنَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. But if he's not able to get him to abandon, to prevent him from the jama'ah, then he seduces him or tempts him with takasul wa ta'akhur an hudur ila al-masjid hatta yufawwitahu ba'duha. So if he's not able to get him to abandon the jama'ah, then he deceives him and tempts him with what? Laziness and delaying. Delaying his attendance to the masjid until some of the jama'ah, salat, will pass him by. Listen to this one, right? He can't get him to abandon the jama'ah completely, so he get him to do, I'm a little bit tired, I'm a little lazy, I got a little bit, I still got time. It's 1 minute to the iqamah, and you still sitting there? So he gives you delay, until you, okay, you get up and you go to the masjid and you catch the second rak'ah, the third rak'ah, the last rak'ah, or you get there just in time before taslim. This is from shaitan, wallahi. Every time it happens to you, know that that's from shaitan. You know it's time for salat, and you delay, and delay, and delay. Laziness. Delay, and delay, and delay. Until he couldn't get you to abandon jama'ah. You still went to the masjid, but he gets you to what? To miss some of the jama'ah. And you feel like, I caught the jama'ah, I'm good. No, shaitan got you. Wallahi got you. But we don't know, because we don't know the tricks of shaitan. You got all kind of stuff. So he prevents you from the excellent, the virtue of a sabq ila al-masjid, of getting to the masjid first. Not last, in the last rak'ah, first before anybody else get there. You're one of the first people to get there. You're in the first line. He prevented you from this fadila, a sabq ila al-masjid, getting there early, first, preceding others. Wa hudur as-salat min awwaliha, and being present for the salat from the beginning of it. From the first takbir, he prevented you from that. He didn't prevent you from praying. He didn't prevent you from praying in Jama'ah, but he made you miss some of the Jama'ah. If he can't get you on this one, he gets you on this one. If he can't get it now, he gets you on another one. May Allah protect us from shaitan. He won't get us on none of that. When you know it's time for salat, get ready. Before the azan. That's the only way you can beat shaitan. Because if you don't get ready before the azan, you're going to delay just a minute. You got 15 minutes. They come. I make it. Might be driving and the traffic gets you stuck and you be sick. And you miss this whole salat maybe. You could have went early. Then you'd say, I'll be just sitting in the masjid. What that mean? You lost something? Sitting in the masjid, you lose out? So the Shaykh, he ends after these goals of shaitan to get you to prevent you from the salat completely. If not, then to prevent you from the salat in jama'ah and then performing the prayer and get you from performing in his time. If you can't get that, at least get you to miss some of the salat in jama'ah. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ رَعَاكُمُ اللَّهُ وَحَافِظُوا عَلَى هَذِهِ الشَّرِيعَةِ عَظِيمَةِ. So observe taqwa of Allah. May Allah protect you and guard this tremendous sign or symbol, this great symbol of Islam. وَأَدُّوا هَذِهِ الطَّاعَ الْجَلِيلَةِ فِي بُيُوتِ اللَّهِ مَعَ الْجَمَاعَةِ. And fulfill, perform this noble, lofty act of obedience in the houses of Allah along with the jama'ah. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you with that in his book. And just as Rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his messenger, has commanded you with that in his sunnah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. That perhaps you will be successful. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى بِمَنِّهِ وَكَرْمِهِ وَنَتَوَصَّلُ إِلَيْهِ بِأَسْمَائِهِ الْحُسْنَى وَصِفَاتِهِ الْعُلْيَى أَنْ يَجْعَلَنَا جَمِيعًا مِنَ الْمُقِيمِينَ الصَّلَاةِ في المساجد كما أمرنا بذلك ربنا وأن يعيننا على ذلك إنه جل وعلا سميع الدعاء وهو أهل الرجاء وهو حسبنا ونعم الوكيل. We ask Allah, the Majestic, the Most High, from His benevolence and His grace. And we seek nearness to Allah by His beautiful names and His lofty characteristics. That he make all of us, of those who establish the salat in the masjids, as our Rabb has commanded us to do, and that he aid us. May Allah aid us, may he help us. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, help us, aid us to remember you and to be grateful to you, and as a result of that, to worship you in the best manner. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he aid us to do this. Indeed, he is the one who hears our supplication. And he is the one in whom our hope is. And he is sufficient for us. And he is the best one to put our trust in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.